You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
I don't think I left anything out. If I did, I'm on video, so.
I think you covered it all, Brother Craig. He does a great job, doesn't he? Would you give him a hand? If anybody wonders, nobody up here gets paid. We do at least. Leland, who runs the business, runs Loops and everything else, Leland and his dear wife Linda and Evelyn. I think Evelyn might get paid a little bit, but it's not near enough for all she does. But we all volunteer our time, and my Lord, why wouldn't we? How much more blessing can you get? We love the Rec Room. This is a song we do in our church service. If you know it, you're welcome to sing it with us. We don't have it on our Rec Room song list yet, but we will one day. But we're going to do it tonight and hope you like it.
Who am I that you are mindful of me? That you hear me when I call. Is it true that you are thinking of me? How you love me? It's amazing. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. I'm a friend of God. He calls me friend. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. Who am I that you are mindful of me? I call. Is it true that you are thinking of me? How you love me? It's amazing. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend. He calls me friend. Hallelujah! I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. Sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Ooh, what peace we often hold. Pain we bear, all because we do not carry.
first time Miss Jolene's played that. We are so thankful for her. Thank you all for coming again tonight. Brother Doug.
Amen. I'm going to go down here and get my stuff, Rick. I haven't started roaming yet, but I probably will before it's over with. Okay. Everybody doing okay? Okay, that was three of you. Everybody doing okay? All right, there we go. All right. I'm going to get you up and down, okay? So stand up one more time for me. I'll get you up, and I'll let you sit down here in a minute, and then after that, you're on your own, okay? All right. Let's pray. Father, we love you, and we appreciate you, and we thank you for everything that you do for us. You're so good to us, dear Lord, and we just pray that over the next few minutes, dear Lord, that you would just take and bless your word. It's not my word, it's your word, dear Lord, and just bless it and anoint it, dear Lord, and have it to be a seed that's sown in people's lives tonight, and have it to be that sword that would keep the enemy at bay, dear Lord, but have it be that double-edged sword that would prune us back and have us to grow and mature and develop with your word, dear Lord. And we love you for it. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Before you're seated, turn around and tell somebody you look like you gained weight since I saw you last time. Ah, you may be seated. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. See, if you can't have fun at church, where can't you have fun? Okay? And that'll get you on a first name basis right there, okay? That'll get you to where you just, you know, if it doesn't get you slapped, it'll get you on a first name basis. Jay Wise, I'm glad to see you. Glad to see you here tonight. Can you give a great big hand clap? Amen. Amen and amen. Well, I'm not going to be before you long. I've got, according to the clock here, the official clock, I got just a little over 20 minutes or so to do what I need to do. And I'll tell you what, Leland is a what I call a master of the 20-minute message. Okay, I've told people all over Midland and Odessa, I can do what Leland does. It just takes me an hour and a half. Okay, but he is really, really, really good at getting the Word of God and presenting it and drawing conclusions and inferences, and boy, he'll get you right where you're sitting. And I've read that scriptures probably as much of as a lot of you, and a lot of times I'm sitting there and I'm saying, where did that come from? Where did that come from? Because he pulls things out of there that that I've never seen. I'm going to talk to you tonight for just a few minutes. Leland is what I call a exegetical type preacher is what that is. Now that's a $64,000 word, okay? But that means he's a storyteller, okay? An exegetical type preacher will take just a short passage a lot of times, maybe a story or even just a scripture, and they'll pull all kinds of conclusions and see things in there that you've never understood and that you've never seen before, and do a good job of it and really, really touch you in a special way. And he does it as well as anybody I've ever seen. I've been born and raised in church ever since I was real little. I was born and raised going to church and in church. And I was born and raised in a little church, okay? And I've been to big churches and little churches and churches in between. And Leland is a blessing to y'all. I don't know if y'all realize what y'all got, but you all have got a diamond, okay? You all have got a diamond with him and Linda, because he loves you all very, 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 very much. And he loves y'all so much that he'll tell you the truth whether it hurts you or not. Okay, whether you like it or not, you're going to hear the truth, okay? So you could just be thankful for that. I wanted to also thank Pastor, and I know Pastorette's not here tonight. I haven't seen her, but Kathy and Pastor Johnny, I want to thank them for what they do. Everything that you see here tonight is free gratis. And how many of you know it takes money to run the air conditioner? How many of you know it takes money to turn the lights on? It takes money to make this thing go around. And so what they do every week for the rec room, they're to be commended. And so thank you, Pastor, and the entire church body, because it's the church body that does it. It's not just the pastor, but I wanted to say that. Pastor Johnny and I, we go back longer than what either one of us want to remember. Okay. We go back to clear to the Temple Baptist days across the street, and Johnny was an associate pastor underneath the Thorpe's ministry, and he was there for years and years and years, and he headed up during the time when I was going. I went for about 4 or 5 years to Temple Baptist, and during that time I got involved in the same ministry that Johnny was heading up, that Pastor Johnny was heading up, and the bus ministry. And so that's where I kind of got to know Pastor at. It's kind of a little bit of a funny story on that, is that about 7 years ago, I guess, Leland called me one day, and he said, Pastor Doug, you got your commercial driver's license? And I said, well, I said, it depends. I said, who's asking? Okay. And he said, well, I am. He said, could you possibly fill in driving the bus for the rec room until I can find somebody to take that position? You know who's still driving the bus? every now and then I got to ask him, Leland, are you still looking? Have you forgotten? But no, it's just a joy, and it's just a blessing to be able to do that. This is actually, you was talking about Joe Bell. A lot of people in here don't even know Joe Bell, but Joe Bell, if it hadn't been for Joe Bell, probably the Clover Houses wouldn't be in existence in Odessa, Texas today. He's a vital, vital part of starting the Clover House ministry here in Odessa, and administrated it for many years and things like that. But long story short, Joe introduced me to the rec room several years ago. And this was actually, Joe would say it was the highlight to his week. And it's really a highlight to my week too. I try to work a certain few days during the week, and I end up working a lot more than that most of the time, as the rest of you do. But I try to take Fridays off, okay? So this is my Friday. Thursday night is actually my Friday. And so this is my time, and this is really the highlight to my week. I just enjoy coming down and spending time with y'all, and ministering and helping and just sitting down. It's so good to be able to, as a pastor, it's so good to, I'm stalling a little bit because I don't have a long message, okay? I'm not going to be before you long, so I don't have a long message. But it's so good as a pastor, you can relate to this. It's so good to go into a church or go into a ministry and just go in and sit down and plop down the chair and say, what's for supper? You don't have to turn anything on. Don't have to turn anything off. Don't have to make sure that the doors are locked. Don't have to do. And I'm able to do that a lot around here, is that I've been able to come down here over the years. So I really get fed on Thursday nights down here. I get fed with the ministry and the fellowship and the word and things like that. So I just really, really enjoy this a whole lot. If you would, I told you I was going to have you up and down just quite a little bit here tonight. Stand one more time. And if you want a Bible, I think we probably got some. We got some guys back there that's going to hand out a Bible. If you want a Bible, just slip your hand up in the air, and they'll be getting it to you. But take that Bible, and if you've got your Bible, take it and open it up. Find 1 Samuel and open it up to 1 Samuel and find the first chapter of 1 Samuel. And Mr. Reynolds, I'm gonna take this and turn that so it doesn't mess my pages up here. Go to 1 Samuel and the first chapter, and we're going to be in the first 9 verses here this evening for just a few minutes here. Now I'm going to read this for you, okay? I'm going to read this for you, and you can listen, or you can follow along here with me. I'm in the King James Version, and everybody say that's the real Bible, okay? I know Leland appreciates that. He'll get wound up if anybody uses anything else other than a King James Version, okay? But I'm going to read the first 9 verses for you, then I'm going to let you sit down here, and then we're going to try to tell a story a little bit along
the line of what Leland would do if he was here tonight. Okay, the Bible says, now there was a certain man of Ramathaim, Zophim, of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah. His name was Elkanah. It goes on, the rest of that verse right there, and it gives the lineage. And I'm not going to read it because I can't pronounce the words. Okay? So I'm going to go down to verse number 2. The Bible says, and he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Verse number 3. And this man went up out of the city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. Verse number 4, it says, and when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave worthy portions. Okay, remember that. We're going to come back to that here in just a little bit. Bible goes on, verse number 5. It says, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. Verse number 6. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. Verse number 7. And as he did so year by year, remember that, year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Verse number 8. Then said Elkanah her husband to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? And the very first part of verse number 9, listen to these 4 words. The Bible says, so Hannah rose up. 4 little bitty words that you'd almost miss if you wasn't studying this or looking at it close. The Bible says, so Hannah rose up. Let's pray. Father, we love you for tonight. We love you for your word. I pray a special blessing over it, and we'll give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Now, just for a few minutes here, we see here in the Bible that the Bible speaks to us a lot of times in metaphors. It speaks to us in symbolism. It speaks to us in ways that we have to think about, okay? And this is really rich. This is really rich. This passage of Scripture here is really, really rich in metaphors and symbolisms and things like that that you really have to think about to think or to figure out, what's this mean to me? Okay, what's this mean to me? And when I'm studying the Word of God, and when I'm reading the Word of God, and when I'm trying to glean something from the Word of God, because see, the Word of God is God. Now, I've took some heat over that statement right there. But what you going to do with John 1:1? In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Okay? So when we're studying this, this is God talking to us through the Word, through the power of the Holy Spirit that's on the inside of us, combining. And it's leading us, and it's guiding us, and it's directing us, and it's having us to change and grow and mature and develop and reproof us and things like that. So we're trying to get information out of here that will help us as Christians and as believers. Let's go back now to the Word. We're going to pull this thing apart for the next 10 or 15 minutes here and see what's in this for us. You'll see that there was three characters here. Elkanah was the husband. He was the man of the house. The Bible says that he was a godly man. That he was a goodly man. He was a godly man. He was the man of the house. But you can see here, go to verse number 2, or I'm going to read it for you here. In verse number 2, the Bible says, and he had two wives. That's a problem. And all the men said, amen. Okay. Folks, I got one. Jolene, everything I can handle, all wrapped up in one package. Okay. I feel for Elkanah. Okay. Get off that. Because I'm probably not going to make no friends by doing that. But now listen to this. The Bible said he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah. Okay. The name of the one was Hannah. And that's the second biblical character that we're talking about. The name of the other was Peniah. So these are the three main characters. You've got Elkanah, the husband. You've got Hannah, one of his wives. And you've got Peniah, the other wife. The Bible says, and Peniah had children, but Hannah had no children. That's a problem. Okay? That's a problem. One had kids. The other one didn't have kids. Let's go on. Verse number 3. Bible says, and this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. Now, look at verse number 4. It says, and when the time was that Elkanah offered. Now, this is an annual thing. As you study this and you read this and we talk about this, this is something that Elkanah, he was a godly man, this is something that he did every year. He went up to this place called Shiloh. In other words, he went up to a church conference. Okay, let's put it in modern day terms. He went up to a church conference. He went to something that he went to one time a year. Leland is gone this week to a conference with the Loops Ministry board meeting, something like that. Something that they do maybe once a year, twice a year. Don't do it all the time. Do it every now and then. This was what Elkanah was doing. He went up to Shiloh to worship unto the Lord. The Bible says something that he did every year. And in verse number 4, it goes on and it said, he gave to Peniah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. In other words, he gave them gifts. He was kind to them. He gave them things that were of value and gave them to Peniah, gave them to her sons, and gave them to her daughters. But now listen to this. The Bible says here, go on to verse number 5, but unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion. In other words, he gave more to Hannah than what he gave to Peniah. Okay? That's a problem. Okay? That's a problem. You give one person more than you give another person. Any of you that's got more than one child in the house, you gotta spread the wealth. If you give a child one thing, you better have something for the other child pretty close at hand. Okay? I've got a little 2.5-year-old, and if I bring something in for my wife Cindy, even, and I don't have something for that little 2.5-year-old, she's figured it out real quick. Okay, is that there needs to be equal representation here? So you can see here, this was a problem because Elkanah loved Hannah more than what he loved Peniah, but Peniah had the children. Now. This fueled some stuff inside of Peniah, okay? Because she saw that Hannah was getting more than her and her kids got, okay? So this kind of fueled the fire. This kind of fueled the fire. Let's go on. It says, but the Lord, verse number 5, let's read it again here. It said, but Hannah, he gave a worthy portion. It says, and this is very key to this whole thing we're talking about here tonight, right here, after the semicolon, it says, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. She wasn't able to have children. We saw that earlier in the first chapter here. But we see here that the reason that she didn't have children. The reason that she didn't have children wasn't because she'd had an accident. The reason that she didn't have children, here I go. Craig. Stay with me. The reason that she didn't have children wasn't because she was born with a physical problem. The reason that she didn't have children wasn't something that just took place haphazardly out of the blue. The Bible says is that the Lord had shut down her womb, had shut it down to where she couldn't have children. Now, here's part of the application of this. See, sometimes God will allow you to go through difficulties and problems and situations for us to grow, for us to mature, and for us to develop. And He'll do that for sometimes an extended period of time. Listen to this. Let me show this to you. Verse number 7, it said, "And as he did so, year by year," this is talking about Elkanah now, going up to Shiloh, "year by year. And as he did so, year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her." That's talking about Paniah. Paniah provoked Hannah. Okay. Greg, we had a cat fight. Had a cat fight going on. All this stuff going on in the home. You talk about a dysfunctional family. Okay. This was a dysfunctional family by all means. Listen to what the word says here. It said, "So Paniah provoked Hannah," or provoked her, "therefore she wept and did not eat." In other words, she picked on her so much it made her sick. She picked on her so much that she couldn't eat or she couldn't drink anything. And the Bible says that this went on year after year. This wasn't a one-time deal. This was something that just kept going on and on and on year after year. Now, I'm going somewhere with this, okay? You stay with me here. I got another scripture and a half to get there, okay? Verse number 8. It said, "Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, 'Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons?'" Okay? And now, here's the key, and here's the crunch to it right here. Those next four words here. The Bible says, "So Hannah rose up." There was something inside of Hannah. She said, "I've had enough." She said, "I've been going through this thing for years. I've been going through this attack for years. I've been being picked on. Paniah has picked on me, made me feel like a lesser woman, made me feel like a lesser person, made me feel like an individual that wasn't worthy. And this has been going on for years and years and years." And all of a sudden, something clicked inside of Hannah. And the Bible says, "And Hannah rose up." Okay. Here's some symbolism and here's some analogies of all of this. You say, well, that's kind of a neat little story in the Bible, and it was talking about a woman. Not necessarily talking to just a woman. Okay. I can relate to this. Craig, for many, many years, I was a Christian and I was a believer. And the old devil, the old enemy, he kicked me around. Okay? He kicked me around with my physical well-being. I was 27 years old. Wasn't feeling just real good. Was working for a Big Five company. Had been there with them for 15 years nearly, 14 plus years. Wasn't feeling just real great. Went to Dr. Duran. A lot of you maybe know Dr. Duran. Still doctors here in Odessa. I was 27 years old, really just a kid. And run some tests. Long story short, he said, "Doug, we got some physical problems." He said, "If we don't turn some things around," he said, "you're not going to see 40. Really? Okay, that's a problem. Devil was kicking me around. Started kicking me around with my family. Was married. Been married for several years. ended up getting a Dear John letter. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I got a Dear John letter on a sticky note on the kitchen table. Don't call me, my lawyer will call you. Pretty short and sweet, okay? Devil was kicking me around. Looked up, went through a divorce, separation. None of them were good, they're all ugly. You can say, well, it's going to be a peaceful divorce. No, it's not. It's going to end up getting ugly. It always does. I see y'all shaking your heads, you that know what I'm talking about out there. Long story short on that, ended up broke, busted, and disgusted. Okay, no money, nearly six figures in debt. For those of you who don't know what that is, almost $100,000 in debt. No job to speak of. No way out. Devil was kicking me around. Broken home, broken relationship, broken marriage, broken body, you name it. Okay, here I was. All of a sudden, something rose up inside of me and said, I'm not going to take this any longer. This isn't the best that God's got for me. This isn't lining up with what the Word of God says. I was just like Hannah. There was something inside of me that was kicking me in the gut. There was something behind me that was kicking me and pushing me and prodding me on. And you know what that was? That was the Holy Spirit. That was God inside of me. He was saying, get up. Get up and go on. Rise up. Now, I don't have time because I got about 5 minutes left here this evening here. But the Word of God tells us is that the Lord will take what the enemy meant for bad and He'll take and He'll turn it back around. And long story short on this is that if I had time, if I had the other hour and 20 minutes that I need, okay, I'd run you down through the Scriptures and I'd run you down through the Bible and show you in the proof biblically that there was a son that was born to Hannah. Okay, his name was Samuel. Okay, his name was Samuel. And for 40 years, Samuel was a priest. He was a prophet. He was a man of God for the nation of Israel for nearly 40 years. And he led that country before they ever had a king. He led them before King Saul came along. He led them before King David come along. And he was a great and a mighty man of God. And long story short on this, if Hannah hadn't arose up, if there hadn't been something that was kicking her in the gut, that prodded her to stand up and say, no, I'm not going to take this any longer, then Samuel probably wouldn't have ever been born and he would have never been able to do what he did. See, because he was a leader, not just of anybody, but he was a leader of Israel. And if you know a little bit about Bible history, you'll know that Israel is God's chosen people. Okay? And so there was something great on the inside of Hannah, okay, that needed to come out. But she had to reach that point, just like I reached that point, is that I had to stop and had to say, I'm not going to put up with this any longer. This isn't the best that God's got for me. And the whole situation changed. I wish I had more time. I got 3 minutes left here this evening here. So I want you to stand if you would. Somebody's going to walk out of here different than they walked in this evening because of this. It's God's Word. As your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, this all centers around salvation. Because without salvation, you don't have the power to do what you need to do. So, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that right now. The question is going to be twofold here. Not only am I asking you to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior if you've never done that, if you've never had that one time or that first time experience, But I'm going to talk to you as a Christian, and I'm going to talk to you as a believer. I'm going to talk to you as one of God's children tonight. Are you being beat up? Are you like Hannah? The old enemy's been coming at you, just like Paniah came at Hannah, been coming at you all different directions, and it's been going on for years and years and years, maybe for an extended period of time. And all of a sudden, something rose up inside of Hannah and said, "That's enough." If that's you here this evening, twofold question. If that's you here this evening, I just want you to raise your hand. I'm going to set my faith in agreement with you here this evening. I see your hand. I see your hand. Men and women alike, I see your hand. I never want to single anybody out. I never want to pick on anybody. But there's those that are here tonight. And I could single you out, and I could call you out, because the Lord's laid you on my heart. Is that it's time to say, "That's enough, devil. I've had it. You picked on my physical body. You picked on my family. You picked on my relationship. You picked on my finances. And you've done it for the last time. And I'm rising up." Being incarcerated is not the best the Lord's got for you. Being broke is not the best that the Lord's got for you. Not feeling good is not the best that the Lord's got for you. If that's you, I'm going to give you one more opportunity. There was three that raised their hands. I'm going to give you an opportunity. You raise your hand here tonight. I see your hand. I see your hand. I see your hand. I got lots of more hands. I got lots of more hands on that. Okay. This is what we're going to do. If you raised your hand for any reason here this evening, for salvation, or you just want to set your faith in agreement with me, because that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray for you real quick here. If you raised your hand, you step out and you come down here and you put your hand in my hand right now. Do it. Don't be afraid. You step out right now. You step out. This was for you tonight. It may be one, it may be five, it may be ten, but it's for you tonight. Okay. There we go. There we go. Now you're being obedient, okay? Bible says obedience is better than sacrifice. He needs you to be obedient to Him, okay? What let's do is I want these five that came down here this evening, I want you to just join hands right here together, and I'm going to come and join hands. Mr. Rick, come and join hands. Craig, would you come with us? Laura, would you help us? We got some ladies here. I just want you to set your faith in agreement with us. And I want the rest of us to set our faith in agreement. And let's all say a little prayer here. And then I'm going to pray a special prayer for these five that came down here. Everybody say, "Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I know I've made some mistakes. And for that, I'm sorry. From this day forward, You're my King of Kings. From this day on, You're my Lord of Lords. And God, I believe You raised Jesus from the dead. And because of that, I'm saved in Jesus' name. Amen." Father, I set my faith in agreement with all five of these that stepped out, dear Lord. Father, they're just like Hannah. They're just like Hannah. They said that I've had enough, and they rose up this evening. They rose up this very night, dear Lord. And Father, I would ask You right now, Your Word tells us, where any two or three be gathered together, that You're going to be in our midst, dear Lord. Your Word says that one puts 1,000 to flight, and two puts 10,000 to flight, dear Lord. So Father, that situation that has held these people back for years and years, I pray right now that You would have it to be turned around, and that You would have it to head in the right direction this very night, just like it did for Hannah, dear Lord. Father, these aren't tears of sorrow that I see. These are tears of joy, dear Lord, because greater is He that's in them than he that's in the world. They are more than conquerors in and through Christ Jesus, their Lord. They're the head, not the tail. They're above only and not beneath, dear Lord. And we give You glory, we give You all the honor, and we give You all the praise for it. In Jesus' holy name, amen and amen. Now, can you give the Lord a great big hand clap?
Now I think Pastor, you tell Leland that Pastor Doug owes him 5 minutes, okay? I tried real hard, okay? Rick, Craig, appreciate your help. Laura, thank you for your help. Now those five that came down here, if this was a first time salvation, I want you to get with Mr. Rick here, because he wants to get some information from you. And we give God all the glory, all the honor. We love y'all. We'll see y'all next Thursday night. God bless you.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.